إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My brothers and sisters, we were talking about what would you lose if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifted the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in Surah Al-Isra, where he said that if I were to lift the Quran, if I were to remove or take back what I have sent, there would be no one to help you in this matter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from this calamity. And as I've been saying, the issue is not only of the kalam of Allah being physically removed from the Mus'haf, it's the question of us becoming disconnected with the Quran, where effectively the Quran has been removed from our lives. And as I said before, we seem to appreciate things only when we lose them. And therefore it is very important for us to think about what we already have and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it, and to appreciate it while we still have it. So what would we lose? We would lose the introduction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatiha, where he said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. We would lose the connection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he said, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. We would lose the one single dua, which is the most important dua that anyone can ever make, which is Ihdina Sirat Al-Mustaqim. There is no dua that is more valuable than this. There is no dua for anything other than hidayat that has more value than the dua for hidayat. Because if a person has all the wealth and health and strength and power in the world, but he does not have hidayat, he will go into Jahannam. Whereas a person may have nothing of this, but he has hidayat, he will go into Jannah. So therefore, the dua for hidayat is the number one dua, the most important dua that one can make. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed the Quran, this is what we would lose. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim, wa rad-dallin. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifted the Quran, we would lose the introduction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did of himself in Ayat al-Kursi. We would lose after that the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the one who grasps لا إكره في الدين قد تبين الرشد من الغي. There is no compulsion in deen. The path of righteousness and the path of misguidance has been clarified and made clear. فمن يكفر بالطاغوت ويؤمن بالله فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى لا انفصام لها والله سميع عليم. We would lose this. We would lose the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to guidance as a firm handhold which is grabbed, which is made by the person, and as a result of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him hidayat. We would lose the basharat of the wilayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min az-zulumati ilan-nur. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the wali of the believers and he takes them out from darkness into light. Walladhina kafaru awliyahumu at-taghut يخرجونهم من النور إلى الظلمات أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned those who are misguided, and he said that they are, and their awliya, their friends and their protectors and their guides are the taghut, are the false deities, are all their desires in their hearts and so on, and they take them from guidance into misguidance, the opposite of coming out from the darkness into light. We would lose this. We would lose this bashara of Jannah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. And then for those who have chosen to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said later on in the Quran, in the same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you remember me and I will remember you. Just think about this, think about the meaning of this, the value of this, the power of this. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Make my shukr, have gratitude for what I have given you, and do not be ungrateful. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave us the power, he gave us and showed us a way of how to live in this world and how to get his help in this world. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah. Take the help of sabr and take the help of salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he mentioned sabr before salah, because effort comes before dua. Effort comes before dua, and that's why the sabr is meant before salah. Sabr is not simply to sit in one place and hope for the best. Sabr is to actually make all the effort that we can make, given whatever circumstances we have been given. Because present circumstances do not decide whether we will win or lose. Present circumstances only decide where we need to start. And therefore we make all the efforts that we can make, and then we stand in salah, because that is the tawakkul of the heart. The tawakkul of the heart is dua, tawakkul of the heart is salah, where we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after making all the effort, and we say, O Allah, help this effort to become successful. The effort by itself has no power. I have no power. It is not because of the effort that I will succeed. So you have to help me to make this effort successful. This is the importance of understanding the meaning of sabr, as that which is explained in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the mujahideen sabirin. And that is the dalil for me to show that sabr is not simply to sit and do nothing. Sabr is to make the maximum effort, because there is no one who is making more effort than the mujahid, the man who is fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the field of battle. He is the ultimate icon, the ultimate symbol of effort. He is making the maximum effort. He is putting everything on the line, including his own life. And that person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him a sabir. He called those people sabirin. So sabr is to make the most complete effort that we can make, and then to stand in dua. The tafsir of this ayah, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah, is in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the seerah, in specifically the battle of Badr, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam embodied this ayah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually explained this ayah with his own action in the battle of Badr. And of course this was his whole life, but the battle of Badr is very symbolic, because it was the first battle that the Muslims fought against the kuffar. And in that battle, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam first made all the effort. He went to Badr, he consulted with his sahaba, he got their commitment. In the battle of Badr, he set up the lines, he set up the battle command, he did everything. After doing all of that, he stood in salah. He stood in salah and he made dua, and dua is very famous, where he said, O Allah, if this small group is wiped out, then there will be no one to take your name on the face of the earth. And this dua came after making all the effort. So after making all of the effort, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not rely on the effort alone. He did not say, well, I have done my best, now I can go to sleep. No. Then he stood in salah, because this salah, why do I call it the tawakkul of the heart? Because it is natural for a person who has done nothing. He may not have much hope and success either, but for a person who works hard, alhamdulillah, uses his mind, invests time, effort, energy, money and so on in something, it is natural for that person to take confidence in that work. And there's nothing wrong in taking confidence, one should be confident. But it is natural to do that, but that confidence can go to the point where the person believes that whatever is happening, whatever is good in my life, whatever success I'm getting, is a result of my effort. As we know, in English language there is even a phrase for it. We call it the self-made man, which is a very stupid phrase, because there is no such thing as a self-made man. Every person who succeeds does so because of, not only ideologically or theologically speaking, of course we say that a person succeeds because of the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but even if you read, you know, a book like Outliers, which very clearly he talks about many different case studies of people, and he shows how the circumstances of a particular person enabled that person to succeed, whereas somebody else who was personally equally or even better endowed never got anywhere because he didn't get those kinds of circumstances. So the issue is not just of being self-made, issue is of the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are circumstances? Circumstances are the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives them, He gives those circumstances to people, and as a result of which they are able to be successful. So in this case, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is standing there, having made all the effort, then he makes dua, And he continues to make dua until Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu says, Ya Rasulullah, bas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you, your Rabb will give you what he has promised you. And that is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu ista'inu bisabri wa salat, inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the people who make sabr. With the people who make sabr. And this is the final and most powerful promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not simply promising them some material help and so on and so forth. Allah is saying, Allah is with you. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be sufficient for you. No matter what happens, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. In Surah Talaq, later on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this, which confirms the meaning of this ayah, which is tawakkul. And there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ السَّابِرِينَ. And there Allah said, اللَّهُ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become sufficient for that person. What is the meaning of ma'a sabirin? That Allah will be sufficient for the sabirin. That they will have no need and no want and nothing will be left. Everything will be given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Provided they do this, which is they have iman, they hold the handhold of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firmly, they choose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over others, they choose, they reject the taghut, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fadkuruni askurukum, people who are in the dhikr of Allah, not just moving a tasbih, but dhikr of Allah meaning that they are living a life which is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and on the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bisabri wa salah, inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. If the Quran is removed, all of this will go from our lives. Imagine what kind of life it will be, how can we be successful if all of this is gone. And as I said, the important thing to understand is that this unfortunately seems to have already happened in the case of many people in this world today, Muslims from whose lives the Quran has been lifted. The point of saying this is not for us to sit in judgment on others, to say in from whose life Quran has been lifted. It's not for us to point fingers at anybody else. It is for us to ask ourselves and say that has the Quran been lifted from my life? Do I have the Quran in my life? If I have the Quran in my life, what is the proof? What is the evidence that I have the Quran in my life? Alhamdulillah, you are sitting in the masjid after Salatul Fajr. Inshallah, this is an evidence that the Quran is in your life. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. But if we were not here, if we were not praying Salatul Fajr, if we were sleeping at this time or we were doing something else, then where is the proof to say that the Quran is still in my life? I'm not saying the Quran has been lifted from their lives. I don't make those statements. I'm just saying that it is for each one of us to reflect, for each one of us to ask himself or herself and say, is the Quran in my life or has it been removed from my life? Because if the Quran has been removed from the life, then that Quran will not be with us on the time, at the time we die. That Quran will not be with us to save us from the torment of the grave. That Quran will not be with us to intercede for us and to make shafaat for us on the day of judgment. What kind of a ending will that be? We ask Allah to save us from that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his help and for his madad and for to help us to live our lives according to his orders on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.